Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be talking about Harleys. Yes, but not in the way you would be expecting them to be discussed. Nice Bike is the title of the book that I'm going to be chatting about today, Making Meaningful Connections on the Road of Life. My guest is Mark Sharonbrook, and Mark, I hope I didn't slaughter your last name.
No, you did perfect, Donna. Thank you.
You're welcome. We have a very good
time. I'm separate. My children are still trying to figure it out.
Your book, one of the warmest. I would say touching the heart and the mind in a way that I think is quite empowering. You're a fascinating man. You've got quite a different background because you're, you know, humor. But there was a movie that came out in 1981 that featured you. And you go all over the Star of Life. Give us a story about where you got your title. But I know my listeners have the favorite thing of being close to
your story. I'm so happy you read the book, though. You like it? I was in, I'm from Minneapolis, but I flew to Milwaukee to drive north to Dean, Wisconsin. I got into a rental car, and as I'm driving along, I literally stumbled into the Harley-Davidson 100-year anniversary, which we held in Milwaukee. I was surrounded by thousands of hardcore black leather tattoos and Harley riders. And I've never been on a Harley. I've never had it on my dream list to own a Harley. But boy, that day, Beige Ford Park rental car, I wanted a Harley. I wanted to be part of that event. And every time you'd pull over and you'd see Harley riders interact with each other, it was really fun to see this tough-looking Harley guy standing by his bike and having a stranger walk by, glance at him, go, nice bike. And this bike owner, you could just see them just warm up and a big smile come across their face. It's the nicest thing you could have done to make a connection with them. And the more I saw this, the more I discovered it, it really hit me of, A, number one, we all have this real need to belong to something. You know, for the Harley riders, it's their hog chapters, it's the Red Hat Society, it's the fishing pals, it's the, you know, we all have a need to belong to a group, a faith fellowship, a race of people, a great company or a school.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a strong need to hear, nice bike. Which to me means I see you, I hear you, who you are and what you do really matters. So that's where the title Nice Bike came from, of sensing this connection these Harley riders had with each other. But then once I saw that, my radar was up to see it in events all around me.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think makes life so interesting, is hearing stories about what has affected an individual, just as you were affected by that particular event. But there were other events that, in your putting the book together, you decided to pull them out to talk about how one person's reaction to a particular situation can make a difference. There is a gentleman, David Wagner. He was the CEO of Yundt Salon Spa.
Mm-hmm.
And you told in your book a story about him and one of his customers that I found especially poignant. Would you share that?
Sure. David's a wonderful person, a great stylist, a great business person. And when I met David at a conference, he asked my card, and I asked for his. And instead of stating CEO, it said Daymaker on his card. And I asked him about it, and he said, well, he was in styling one of his regular customers. And when he finished up, he just said, you look absolutely fabulous today. I mean, you're just glowing. And she said, really? And he said, yeah, you look great today. And she left, and shortly thereafter sent him a note saying that she had actually planned on taking her life that evening, and that she wanted to see David to have her hair done, so that when she'd be found, in her mind, that she would look nice.
Mm-hmm.
And after David really connected with her, acknowledged, you know, who she was and that she mattered, she changed her mind. And she said, you're my daymaker. You made my day and you made my life. So ever since that time, he's put daymaker on his business card instead of CEO.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is so significant. You never know how your words are going to affect a person. And I've had a number of experiences in my life where someone's words to me, whether I was youngster or other, they come out, they're not solicited, that another person will either give a compliment or make a comment, an observation, or they share a moment with you of trust. Those are very special things. Those are like diamonds. And often, I think as individuals, we think, well, maybe that can happen to someone else, but not me. I'm just not that significant. And that is not true.
No, we all have our significance. And I think the more you nice bike other people, the more you show them that who they are and what they do matters, it does come back.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think one of the greatest gifts we can give our children is to be an example of the nice bike kind of person, where we acknowledge people. Because when you're growing up and you're a kid, you're always impatient. You always want to go from the short pants to the long ones as fast as you can, with as many shortcuts as you can throw in. And most of them don't work very well. But when you have people, and this even I think goes for some adults that haven't been educated, when you have someone that exhibits that kind of thoughtfulness and that kind of mindfulness, it makes you aware that you can make a difference. And I think that's one of the gifts that your book gives, because you share a number of different stories about different people that you've met that did just a little bit of something, like the guy that gave you handy wipes just when you were trying to change a tire, and you know, just doing different things. Thoughtfulness and being aware that we're all human beings in this life together. And I think so many times, especially, I mean, we've had tragic events that have happened in this country just in the past couple of days. It's just been awesome. One person in a negative action affected millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And yet so many times we forget that there are those persons, one person at a time, doing a lot of positive things. And that's one person out of 300-plus million people in this nation that did a negative action. And yet, how often do we recognize the others?
Right. And I think that we all want to make a difference. I would hope that we'd all want to make a difference. And it's not that you have to change the world with one broad brush, but your little interactions every day with those around you, both that you're close to, that are associates and are strangers, of simple acts of connecting, do add up and make a huge difference. The wet ones guy that you talked about, it was in the Minneapolis airport, it was a hot day, and a flat tire. I'm not very mechanical. It would take most people just a short time to change your tire. It took me a bit more. But I noticed person after person just walking by, I didn't expect him to help me change a tire, but just walked by without saying a thing. In the midst of it, a guy walked over and said, "A flat tire." I said, "Yes, it is." He said, "Well, it could be worse. Instead of July, it could be January here in Minnesota." He said, "You look like a bit of a mess. The only thing I could find was a couple of wet ones in my glove compartment. You might want to use these to help clean yourself up when you're done." I said, "Thanks a lot." He said, "Well, good luck with that tire." And he walked away. I mean, his simple act of, instead of walking by like everybody else, just acknowledging the situation I was in, honoring me with his time, and connecting me with that kind gesture, it's a guy that I'll remember. That there are a lot of good people out there that instead of just walking by, will take a moment out to connect with you.
Mm-hmm. I loved your story about Dutch.
Oh.
Dutch reminded me of someone that my husband and I know personally that's in Auburn, Washington, and he's just an incredible guy. But you've got to talk about Dutch, because Dutch is, what, 70s, 80s years of age?
Oh, he is. Dutch is in his mid-70s. In Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes, we have a lot of resorts. One of them is Cragen's, and Dutch Cragen is the proprietor along with his wife. And I spoke at a luncheon at the event, and after luncheon they were pouring coffee. I happened to notice an elderly gentleman pouring coffee at our table and had the name tag that said Dutch Cragen. And I turned to my host and said, "You don't think that's Dutch Cragen that owns this place, do you?" He said, "Yes, it is." I said, "Wow, if I owned a resort, I'm not sure if I'd be the guy pouring coffee." He says, "Well, that's just why Dutch is so successful, because he is the guy pouring the coffee. That no job is too large or small for Dutch, and his best way to connect with his customers is to be right there with them." And, boy, his spirit just carries with all of his staff there of really being connected with every guest that walks in.
Mm-hmm. My husband acquired the friendship with the owner, Bruce, of the Sunbreak restaurant that's here in this part of the world, in Auburn, Washington. And I read your story and I chuckled. I said, "Yep, here's the Bruce." Now, Bruce wasn't so much into pouring coffee, although he'll do that, but he washes dishes.
Hmm.
And my husband one day stopped him because he was in a place at the time where you could see who everything that everybody was doing. Since then, he's acquired a much nicer and larger restaurant. But he asked Bruce, he said, "Bruce, what in the world are you doing back in the kitchen? Why? How come you're washing dishes?" He said, "I have all of these young people." He hires high school kids, and he trains them, and they do a fabulous job. But he would be back there washing dishes. He said, "Dishes, if you have a dirty dish and somebody put in front of them, you're going to lose them as a customer. They won't say anything. They'll be gone. You'll never see them again."
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "I'm better than anybody else in here washing dishes. They can sling the hash. They can make the sandwiches. They can do all of the stuff, wait on the tables. I make sure this is done right." And he trains other people, but he's right there involved. And these kids are still, when they start off as kids in their teens, they're still working for him when they're in their 30s. We've gone in, and here's this staff that just absolutely hates to leave. And the customers are standing in line just trying to get in because of that personal touch, that involvement. And all of the people in his place have this attitude: when you walk through that door, you're very important to us, because without you, we wouldn't be in business.
Yeah, that's true of all great leaders, great managers, is those people who are really passionate about what they do. They bring us in. I was a huge fan of Julia Child.
Mm-hmm.
Every time she was on television, I'd just stop and watch her. Not because I was interested in cooking or how to be a chef or anything else or French cuisine, but this woman was just so passionate that she just grabbed you like a magnet. And I never wrote down a recipe. I never sauteed anything. But I was always fascinated by her, because those people who are passionate about who they are and what they do bring people them in. And the Bruce, the gentleman you mentioned, passionate about all the fine details.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone that works with a person like that is better, because they learn from them.
Oh, I agree. And it's contagious. It really is contagious. Because if you walk into a place, I don't care whether it's a hair salon or it's the grocery store and you're dealing with a checker or it has to do with Harley parts, it doesn't make any difference. You have someone that goes, hi, how are you? Yeah, help yourself over there in the left corner, and then they go to reading a book. That's really exciting. You really want to go back there for business.
You do.
You know, it's just amazing. Little things like that make a difference.
You know, there's another gentleman I talk about, Dale Riley, who runs, you mentioned grocery store. He runs a place in Minneapolis called Fresh Seasons. And I've never seen a staff at any store so engaged with customers as they are at Dale Riley's store at Fresh Seasons. And I asked him, what are you doing? Hey, why are your people here different than any other place I walk into? And he said, I asked them just two things. Number one, I want them to be connected to our customers, to talk to them, to engage with them. And number two, I want them to have fun here. And if we can do those two things, we're not just simply a grocery store. We'll really serve our people. But he did a really cool thing with a young woman who bags of groceries named Gabby, high school student, who just every item that comes down the chute, Gabby makes a comment on it. What's this vegetable? And what do you say? Oh, I've never had that before. And I asked Gabby why she liked working at that grocery store so much. And she cited Dale Riley, the manager, the owner of the store, and that she had a huge interest in Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out about that and found out that Cesar Millan was coming to Minneapolis, got tickets for her and her mom and dad,
wow,
and surprised her with an engagement at that performance. And it was more than just putting her picture up as Employee of the Week or the Month.
Mm-hmm.
It was acknowledging what was important to her, honoring her by taking that extra action and really connecting with her to say, this is something that's important to you. Here's how I want to recognize you for what you do for all of our customers here. You know, I think that takes away from being Employee of the Month or the Gold Star to really nice biking people. I think that's what the concept is all about, to acknowledge, honor, and connect.
Yeah,
oh,
a personal touch. Very, very personal. That, I think, is significant.
It is. A personal touch means so much.
Mm-hmm. That's why a thank you, sincerely given or expressed, whether it's a card or however you want to do it, really does make a difference, because everyone enjoys being acknowledged and appreciated. And it's, I think that this is something that we need to enforce as much as possible. And again, if we're a good example, if we walk the walk, just not talk the talk, but walk the walk, people are going to go, wow, okay. And it sort of rubs off on people. It's like when you can make people laugh and just make them feel good, and then maybe they've had a lousy day, but there's a smile that you share with them, and all of a sudden they're feeling better about themselves, just like your friend David with his client. He didn't have a clue that this woman was anticipating committing suicide, or she was just in the doldrums so deep she didn't know how to get herself out.
You know, something just happened this past Christmas. Our daughter's in New York attending university there, and she was at LaGuardia Airport, and it was just December 23rd, so much hustle and bustle, and she found a quiet place to sit down. And our daughter Kate's in her 20s, and noticed another young lady about the same age off in a corner crying, looking at her phone and just in tears. And after a bit, Kate reached into her backpack, and she's always got some emergency dark chocolate stowed there, and walked over to the girl and said, you know, chocolate always makes things better. Gave her the candy bar and a pat on the shoulder and walked away. Didn't know what the girl was crying about or what was going on. And Kate found her seat on her plane home to Minneapolis. And I'll be doggone if the young lady she gave the chocolate to was walking on the flight as a last passenger, sat on the middle seat right in front of our daughter, but didn't see our daughter behind her. And she started turning to the person next to her saying, you will not believe what happened. I'm trying to get home to Minneapolis. All the flights are overbooked. I was on standby. The airlines just wouldn't give me a clear answer. I finally got on. I was just in tears in the airport. And this angel came up to me and said, here's some chocolate. It makes everything better. And it absolutely just brightened, turned my whole experience around. She had no idea that Katie was right behind her. And Kate heard every word of it. I mean, it was, you know, Kate didn't have to solve her problems. She didn't have to find out what was wrong. All she had to do was to extend and acknowledge the fact that the girl was going through some hard times, give some kindness and honor her, and make that little connection. It was a really cool, nice bike.
I think so. Speaking of Katie, I want you to share your story about the chickens and tic-tac-toe. I
sure.
love that. I thought this is one of the perfect stories about kids and thinking and how you deal with letting them learn lessons on their own. This is really wonderful. Okay, got to talk about the chicken.
Well, there's a place in Minnesota called Paul Bunyan Land. It's just like Disney, only different. We all went there as kids, and so it's a real kick to take your children, be it Disneyland or Paul Bunyan Land, take your children where you went as a child. And sure enough, we're there with our three young children, Matt, Mike, and Kate. And as we rounded a corner, here's this display with live chickens that play tic-tac-toe. You put in a quarter, and the chicken pecks, and an X goes up, and you hit an O, and chicken hits an X, and you literally play the chicken in tic-tac-toe. So our oldest son, Matt, stood up. I think he was about 8 or 9 years old. When they played the chicken, I said, come on, Matt, take on the chicken. And so Matt stepped up there. The chicken took an X. There was an O, X, O, X, O, and the chicken won. And Matt said, well, Dad, that wasn't fair. I said, why? He said, well, whoever goes first in tic-tac-toe, they have an edge. I thought, Matt, it's a chicken. So our second child stood up, Michael. I said, come on, Mike, show your older brother how to play the game against a chicken. And so, sure enough, they put in the quarter, the chicken took an X, Mike hit an O, and X, O, X, O, and all of a sudden, boom, chicken won again. Schermbrock children, 0, chicken 2. And Mike said, well, Dad, that wasn't fair at all. I said, Mike, why wasn't it fair? He said, well, that chicken plays tic-tac-toe every day. I haven't played for over a month. I said, Michael, it's a chicken. Well, finally, Kate, our daughter, gets up, and she's just a little thing. I said, now, Katie, you can do this. You know how to play tic-tac-toe. I put the quarter in. The chicken took an X, O, O, X, and I'll be doggone if chicken beat Katie. So it's Schermbrock children 0, chicken 3. And Katie, like her brother, said, well, Dad, that wasn't fair at all. I said, why, Katie? So, well, Dad, I'm just a little kid. That's a professional chicken.
I love
it's
that one.
It's just a chicken. So we just left the park and went to Kentucky Fried Chicken and got a bucket. But the point we try to teach our children along the way is, you know, sometimes life's not going to be fair. Sometimes mm-hmm. the chicken wins.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to learn how to deal with that and stop giving excuses and move ahead.
So, folks, whenever you hear people giving excuses, think of these wonderful children and the chicken and the tic-tac-toe game. I mean, it is really cute. I really enjoyed that. You have a quote in your book, Mark, as you honor your dreams, opportunities you never noticed before will appear, and you will start to live your life by design. Your chapter title, where that quote is joined to it, make a left turn.
Mm.
That I found was quite interesting because you used the example of a cabbie
right
at the very beginning of that chapter. Let's talk mm-hmm. about making that left turn.
Well, I'm in a cab ride and I'm there with my wife Susan, and cab driver's left-hand turn signal was on. It was on and on and on, and I finally just said, sir, excuse me, but do you know your left-hand turn signal's on? And he was in New York, and he said, yeah, I'm going to take a left. I just don't know when yet. And it hit me that how many of us are going through life with our left-hand turn signal on? We're going to do something. We just don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
We want to move ahead in our lives, but we're just, that blinker is just tick, 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 tick. And so in that chapter, we talk about advice that I received when I was a senior in high school. Our teacher had us write down on the top of a sheet of paper, 50 before 50, 50 things we'd love to do before we turn 50. And it was one of the most powerful things I've ever done. It is that, A, you have to write it down, and, B, look at this list each week as much as you look at fast food restaurant menus. I mean, think about the amount of time, Donna, that we all sit at a fast food place glancing up at that menu, deciding we're going to eat for a moment, versus really writing down our intentions, our dreams, what we want to accomplish in this world, large and small. And when you look at that each week, as much as you look at fast food restaurant menus, suddenly opportunities appear. I can't explain why. It's kind of like when you buy a new car and you're driving down the road, you see every car that's just like it. Because when you have ownership in something, you see everybody else that has the same thing that you do. When you have ownership in your dreams and you write them down and commit to looking at them, suddenly opportunities appear. I mean, there was a time when my wife and I were collecting, we have a cabin in northern Minnesota. We're collecting artifacts for that cabin, antiques, pictures, fishing tackle. And I was never an antiquer. But once we started looking, I saw every antique sign within miles that just appeared that I was driven by before because I was never focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the power of writing those dreams down and 50 before, filling that age, really works.
You, an illustration of that in your book, you talk about a young man by the name of Tim. Now, Tim passed away when he was 20 years old, and his family did something I think that was quite exceptional because they honored his memory by passing along the tools of wisdom that you're sharing with us right now about writing down the dreams and going for it. In fact, they host a symposium. Share what this wonderful couple is doing.
The Cashins are, Tim and Holly are wonderful people. You're correct. They unfortunately lost their son through a boating accident when he was 20 years old. Tim had heard me speak at a leadership conference, picked up this concept and took action on it. And about a week after his unfortunate death, they found his list, Things to Do Before I Turn 50. And it's it leads the chapter in the book about make a left turn. And they had a number of contributions made in memory of Tim. And every year at Tim's high school, where he's graduated from, student council president, highly involved, they have a symposium where I come in and talk to the seniors to keep that concept alive with all the graduating seniors. To live life as Tim did, embracing it passionately, engaged and involved, and to live their life by design instead of by accident, to come up with that list of 50 things to do before I turn 50 and to pursue it. And the other cool thing is that upon finding his list in time, Tim and Holly and their remaining two sons have now actively gone after accomplishing everything that Tim wrote down his original list. And so they're bringing all those dreams true, which I think is really cool.
I think so, too. Now, Mark, I know we're just about out of time here. Your book has so much wonderful information. I think that this is a kind of book a family could share and could read, maybe talk about examples about has this happened to you or what would you do in certain circumstances, especially with young people. I think it's important to know just what we talked about, even though we were joking about the chickens and tic-tac-toe. Life isn't always fair. Things happen in life. And whether it is an individual, a community, a nation, things happen. But it's what you're going to do with what's going on around you and not give up your power of being able to turn things around and to make life what it really should be in the right way. And I think your book, Nice Bike, goes a very long way. Not only is it easy reading in the sense that it's comfortable, you have made a book that's for a layperson, but it's a book you'd want to share. And I'd tell any of you that would want to buy the book, make sure you write in it. Make little notes in it. I know I do it every day because of all the people that I interview, but I'm serious. And a lot of the lessons, make your list, a few things that are in the book. I think not only will you find it enjoyable to read, but I think it'll also touch your heart and your mind in a way that here we are in a brand new year, you can make a difference in your own life. You know, everything has to start with you. Mark Schoenbrock, where do we go? You've got a website, is it nicebike.com, where people can find out more?
Yes, nicebike.com is the place to go. And I'm so happy you like the book. And I do believe that for families, for couples, for relationships, of how to make deeper connections with each other and those around you, especially this new year, and the book resonates with a wide age range. So we're happy about that. So I'm really glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, I did. Remember, people have a story to tell. They could be a street person. They could be the president of a company. You never know what story someone is going to share with you about their life. And you may touch someone's life in a special way that'll transform how they think, how they feel about themselves. Everyone is significant on this planet, but it's up to us to be mindful of that fact and to be alive, be alert, and be attentive. Mark, your book, Nice Bike, is absolutely wonderful. I encourage those of you that are listening to check out his website, nicebike.com. Thank you, Mark, for being my guest. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hi, this is Donna. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line waiting, but quickly, I want to mention to you, for those of you who are just tuning in, you can give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And I will be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Tomorrow, we are going to be having a wonderful guest, Maureen McGill, live. From the Other Side is the title of the book. That's right. Maureen is a psychic, and she and an associate decided to write down some real-life experiences that people have had. So we're going to be talking about that, so I hope you can join us. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. It's Pat in Connecticut.
Oh, hi, Pat. Did you have a chance to listen to the guest that I had?
I did. I got the last maybe 15 minutes. It was very interesting.
Well, he's a fun guy. My engineer just really loved the chicken story with the kids. And I just thought, yeah. You know, that is the power of story, isn't it? When you can mm-hmm. share things, real life examples and real experiences that you've gone through, it gives the person a chance to identify with it.
That's
and I
true.
Think it makes a difference, doesn't it? Okay,
it does,
Pat, well, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I'm looking at right off the bat is you've got your work cut out for you. I am seeing you having to deal with some paperwork. I honestly do not know exactly what it is about, but I feel like you've got to go through, it looks like 5 pages of material here, and I want to say you must read it. You cannot just assume things. You must read it. That will give you an idea of what you really need to pay attention to during this year of 2011. Now, this could have something to do with taxes, for all I know. I just don't know. All I know is that you cannot assume anything, because these documents that I'm looking at have a relevancy to something about money and a commitment of some kind. So you've got to really look at how you want to plan out this year of 2011, and those, in some ways, this month of January may be slow in certain areas of your experience. Trust me, you're going to have enough other stuff to go on. Enjoy the fact that it is slow in certain levels of experience so that you can take care of these loose ends that you need to take care of. It's going to be very much to your advantage, and don't be surprised if you're invited to a few events in early spring that may make it necessary for you to drive a distance. So just know that when you're ready to attend whatever these events are, could be a wedding, could be a birthday party, I don't know, but it's something that should be fun. You need to give yourself the extra time. So if you need to drive maybe the day before and find a place to stay so that the next day where the event is, whatever the event is going to be, you can really relax and enjoy yourself, do it. Give yourself the time. Don't try to put yourself in a pressure box. It's just not worth it. What would you like to ask me today?
I have applied for and been interviewed last Friday for artist housing, affordable living, but it's been built especially for artists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you can see if I'm going to be accepted.
I believe they already have made the decision to accept you. I do not know the time frame when you would be able to get in exactly. I am looking more towards the month of September. I could be wrong here. I hope it's much faster than that for you. But for some reason, I'm seeing some work that's having to be done on certain units. So something hasn't been completed. I believe that the acceptance is there, but the work has not been done completely on the units themselves. So hang tough. It's going to happen for you. Just know it may not happen as quickly as you anticipate. And again, I hope I'm wrong on this. I hope, you know, they say, gee, in a month you can move in. But my awareness at this moment is that that's not the case.
Originally, I applied last September. They're planning to have people move in this February 1st. Does that make any sense?
Well, you might have applied last September. I feel that there is a place for you, and I'm seeing you actually making the move, but not in February.
Okay, not till September?
Yeah, it looks more like September to me. So this is something that they've got certain plans for. And these plans are going to be coming into play. They've got to finish up some work, dear. I don't know what all the particulars are.
Okay.
So just be patient.
Okay.
Take care of whatever loose ends you've got here. Because
okay.
When the time comes, and I may be wrong, they may have something that will suddenly open up, but I
uh-huh.
am seeing you accept it, but I'm not
good.
Seeing the place ready for you.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. That's good news. Does my heart look okay, just real quick?
Well, your heart looks fine to me, but you do have something with a couple of arterial passages that they look like they're small to me. So what
yeah.
I would like for you to do is take a very proactive approach, not one of fear, but I want you to really pay attention to what you need to do for yourself to maintain a level of stamina. And don't become a couch potato. But I would encourage
don't become
a couch potato.
Okay.
Okay. What I want you to be aware of is that you're the one that has to be proactive with this. And I think a regular examination that would maybe be once a year, whatever is appropriate, you want to be proactive.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise there could be a surgery. Now, I think that there may be something that can be done. It looks like a new technology that's going to be coming out within 5 years that with someone like yourself that has the smaller arterial patterning, it would really make a difference. So just be aware. But you must take on the responsibility of being wise, attentive to yourself.
Okay.
All right, dear?
Thank you. Thank you
You're
so much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a minute. And when we come back, hey, I'll talk to you too. Let you know what's going to be evolving, 888-815-9756. And I've got some goodies to share with you, as well as the rest of the, well, what do I want to say? Brief overview for 2011 for the signs of Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. We'll be back in just a minute.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. rawenergyradio.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I have had so many wonderful stories sent to me via email, and I want to thank those of you that are sending me these stories. Everything from an 89-year-old woman who you will hear about eventually to kids that are making a difference. There are so many good people out there. We have had some real heavy hitting stuff that's affected the national airwaves and very tragic situations that have affected people. But I want you to remember something. The one person that caused such devastation, that does not account. As I mentioned when I was doing the interview with Mark earlier, we have well over 300 million people that are sincere and caring and hardworking. We cannot let one person destroy the belief in what we have. Don't get caught up in that. Realize, yes, that is a tragedy, but where you are and what you do makes a difference. Let's go to a caller that we're waiting on the line with, and after that, if I have time, then I'll be giving you the astrological overview. Okay, and who do we have on the line here? Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. This is Linda.
Hi, Linda. And where are you calling in from?
Well, I'm calling from California.
Where in California? Northern California, Southern California?
Oh, San Diego.
Oh, San Diego. Okay. Now, Linda, I wanted to say right off the bat, you've got to get some more rest. You are stressed. Mm. I am looking at a stress level that when I'm seeing you in a vehicle, it's like your eyes want to close. It's very easy for you to go into what I describe as a hypnotic form of relaxation, but you don't want to do that when you're driving. So you need to give yourself some tender, loving care. And if you don't give it to yourself, nobody else is going to do it for you. So you need to take a stand. And if you need to go to bed 2 or 3 hours earlier, do it. If somebody else has to fix their lunch, their dinner, whatever else is going on, has to do their own laundry, okay, so they do it. You take care of yourself because your stress level, as I am seeing it, yeah, you're a tough cookie, and you say, well, I can weather, you know, I can handle this. Man, it's all right. I've been through worse things. Okay, fine, but stress has a way of eating away at you physically. And then all of a sudden, you're going through some kind of a crash dive, and that's not necessary. And you never have a good time when you do it. Nobody ever does. So take care of yourself. You really need to do this, and you do need to have your eyes examined. Don't procrastinate on this. Don't do less for yourself than what you would do for somebody else. Put yourself first. Is it being selfish? Not really. Because if you're down and out, how in the world are you going to be able to do what you really love to do? You're not going to be able to. So take care of numero uno. What question would you like to ask me?
Oh, that was very interesting.
Why was it interesting?
Well, because all of December, I felt just exhausted, and I wasn't doing anything. I was literally laying around most of the day. And now as the new year has begun, I've actually gotten busy, but I don't feel stressed. I just feel like, okay, finally I'm getting things done and accomplished. But maybe I can take a breather in the middle of the day while I'm doing stuff.
Remember, honey, like, when I can so relate to you. I can be a workaholic. I really can. I mean, I can just go like a little steady little tugboat, choo 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 choo. But all of a sudden, it catches up. So it's like being mindful and stop covering up, and things will get done. They're going to get done when you're rested, when you're really rested. And if you were that exhausted during December, you still haven't gotten out of that level. So you really need to be honest with yourself, and you need to take care of yourself. And like I said, if you feel like you need to go to bed early, go to bed early. Turn off the television. Don't worry about it. The dishes are going to stay in the sink. I guarantee you they don't get up and do a tap dance while you're sleeping. They're going to be there right there for you, and that may drive you nuts. But remember, that's what dishwashers are for. And when you're rested, you get so much more done. And it's really getting, you know, good rest. Make sure you're taking care of yourself, you're eating well, that you're taking your supplements, that you do what you need to do for yourself. That's what it takes. You have to put yourself first in that way. What's your question?
Well, my question is actually about selling a house. My friend is selling a house that we're living in right now, and that's where most of my energy has been going towards, getting the house in order. Now that we're having open houses, I can kind of relax, but I wanted to know if you can see how this is all going to turn out for him.
Well, what specifically are you wanting to know?
Is it's going to go for a good price, and we're actually going to be overjoyed when we move. Like, it's going to happen quickly.
No, it's not going to happen quickly. It's going to take a bit of time. It could take up to 9 months. And what you need to do is not be distressed over that. Go through the preparation, do what needs to be done, and realize that there is going to be that right buyer. And I am looking at a buyer that will have a pretty good cash flow. So I think you get the house pristine and just know and start packing things up, putting them in boxes, getting ready for your move. Do whatever you can do to tidy things up and stage the home in the most attractive way possible. And just look at what you need to do. I think that the move, you've already determined that you really want to do this. It is going to happen, but it's not going to happen in 2 weeks.
Oh, I hope it doesn't take 9 months. I mean, we literally have to move in 2 months, so.
Well, it depends. If Well, then just start doing some mental work with this. But I would just say do everything you need to do and get things boxed up and packed and everything that you possibly can so that when the time comes that you're ready to go. But if the house is going on the market, I don't know that you're going to be able, if you give it away, you're not going to be happy. So this is something where it's going to take some time. It's not going to happen in the blink. It will happen. When it happens, it'll happen fast. But it's not going to come around in 2 weeks.
Got you.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you.
You are very welcome, dear.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You take care now. This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, I know we've got a few minutes here, so let me, quick as a bunny, get in those. Overviews for 2011, I got 9 of the zodiac signs, but we still have Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces left. So let's go for it. This winter, boy, is your ambition going to be rising. You're going to feel like you're out of whatever has been compressing you in. Maybe you had the doldrums because of the holidays and you just couldn't get things done. Boy, is that going to change. You're going to find yourself really wanting to focus on the things that are most important to you. And you're going to be able to have a balance between your ambitious side for the career as well as having fun. And you're also going to take the time, those of you under the sign of Capricorn, asking yourself, what is it you really, really want? And then when it comes springtime, you're going to find that because of the way you're handling things, there's going to be like an open flow, and you're going to be in the right place at the right time with the right people, and that's going to mean so much for you and your intuitive skills. Well, let me tell you, starting in the spring, going through the summer months, you're really going to be right on top of your ESP. You're going to find that what you look at, you're going to have a good sense for. If you're making investments, you're going to have a good feel for that. You're really going to be feeling good about who and what you are. And save those bits of change or whatever you've got because you want to take a vacation and you need to plan for it. You're one of these signs. You like to have things really planned out well. By the time fall gets in, you are going to be very active. In your working environment, you will be recognized for what you do. You're also going to find that your social life, if you're open to it, is going to be flowing into a brand new direction. So you are going to find that this is quite an important year for those of you under the sign of Capricorn. Aquarians, you're going to find ways to put your ideas into actual action. Work, well, that's okay, but however you choose to develop your skills, your associations with people, maybe you want to do some volunteer work, you are going to feel very good because you're thinking about how you can best do what you really have a passion for. Traveling, you're going to be thinking a lot about it, but you're going to have to plan for it. And do you know, there is a lot going on with you where you're thinking maybe about how can I make myself look better? It could be wardrobe. It could be learning how to be a better speaker. It could be any number of things, but you're really going to want to work on self-improvement. Spring is a great time to do that, and you are going to find that you really want to be very discriminating about who you spend your time with. Summertime, you are going to really want to come from the heart on so many levels. And also, if you've got Mr. or Ms. Special in your life, there's going to be some wonderful open communications. And then by the time fall gets around, boy, you are really smoking. You are really putting in everything you need to do. You feel like you've got your to-do list down pat, and man, you're going to go for it. No holding you back. And quickly, I want to say for those of you under the sign of Pisces, you are going to be traveling. You're also taking a stand that you're going to live your life the way you want to live it. You're going to have a clarity about yourself, your life, and what you want to do. Spring rolls around. Hey, physical fitness. Yes, you're going to want to look your best. You are going to want to look the best you possibly can. And when summer comes up, you are going to find yourself really, really busy. Don't be surprised if you end up going back to school. You're going to want to do this off and on throughout your entire lifetime because it's who you are. You want to have a sweet, sweet resume. And then when fall comes up, travel. You are going to be bitten by the traveling bug, and oh, are you going to love it. My goodness, I'm out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're very special. I'm so glad you were able to join me today. And my thanks to my guest, Mark, and my thanks to you for helping to be a part of this program. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back with you tomorrow talking about, you got it, those on the other side of life. Donna Sebo here. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.